welcome back to tonight's service. We're so glad you're here. Let's get started as we stand together and sing hymn number 247, Help Somebody Today. And then in just a moment, we're going to have Brother Shepherd. Let's stand together. We'll go ahead and have Brother Shepherd come and pray. I do want to mention to you and ask you to pray for a young girl. She's 15 months old. She has stage 4 cancer. And her name is Amanda. And Michelle's her mother. She's asking us to pray, and let's make sure and pray for her. She has cancer in her kidney, and which is not good, and so we need to pray for her that God would bring healing to her body if it be as well, and just pray for the family during this very difficult time. All right.
All right, well, let's sing together Psalm 247. Help somebody today. 247.
Look all around you, find some.
Before we go to prayer, I just wanted to give you a quick announcement. I looked at my tithe letter the other day. I got it, and as we were putting them on the letters, I thought, you know what? I think that tithe is a little bit low. I was discouraged because it wasn't as high as it was last year. And then I had a couple other people come to me and say, you know what? My tithe looks a little bit low. And we checked the records, and the records that we gave you were actually inaccurate. We do have a dual checking system. We have an Excel spreadsheet that's linked to every offering that we have in a calendar year. Then we have a database specifically designed for the tithes and offerings. Well, we had a small problem with the database, but we had everything backed up on the Excel spreadsheet. So we do have the accurate records, and what we're going to do is we are going to reprint those and have them out to you by Wednesday. So we do appreciate your patience with that. Counting over, nearly $600,000 worth of tithes and offerings, sometimes there are mistakes made, but we always have a backup to keep those mistakes at a minimum. So we do appreciate your patience, and then we will have those for you on Wednesday. Let's pray for these needs today. Dear God, we do thank you for today. Lord, you're so good to us. And Father, we just thank you for bringing us back tonight. Lord, we thank you for these faithful people, Lord, who came back, Lord, to hear God's word preached. And Father, we pray now that you would just meet with us in a special way. Father, we pray that you would give us the answers, Lord, perhaps to problems that we're going through. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us, Lord, and help us, dear God, to live for you. Father, it's such a joy to live for you, to know that you live inside of us, Lord. You tabernacle inside of us, Lord, and you guide us and direct us, and Lord, you comfort us. And Father, you you meet our needs. And Father, we just pray tonight you would meet with us in a special way. And Lord, we pray especially for Amanda tonight, Lord, the little girl who has a cancer. Father, you're able to raise this dear child up. Father, you're able to heal her. And Lord, we pray that you would do that. Lord, we pray that you would work in these lives of everybody affected by this situation. Father, we pray for the family involved. Lord, no doubt it's incredibly stressful on them. Lord, we pray that your comfort would be incredibly real. Lord, your presence would be strong. And Father, we pray that you would give the doctors wisdom, Lord, as they as they look at little Amanda here. Father, we pray now that you would please just bless in all that we do. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do tonight in our lives, for we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated.
Good evening. We had 4 members of the shut-in team come out on Monday, and we made 2 visits. And again, if you folks know of anybody that's either shut in or in the hospital, let the pastor or the deacons know. or you can let myself know. Also, we appreciate your prayers. Please continue praying for all the ministries and get involved. We need to spread the gospel. So please get involved. Thank you.
Well, this morning on the church bus, we had 49 riders, and it was Super Bird Sunday for Super Bowl Sunday. It was Super Bird Sunday on the church bus, so all the kids were able to pet the bird on the way out. And we had a little bit of problem with the bus mechanics. We believe it's a fuel leak. If you'd pray for us so we can get that bus fixed up and get it running. I was talking to God today. I was saying, God, how can we have so many problems with our bus mechanics as of late? God's just allowing some trouble as far as the mechanics. But I praise the Lord that kids are still coming, and kids are still hearing the Word of God, and kids are still being saved, and we're having more kids come every Sunday. So just pray with us so we can get this bus problem fixed and get it all straightened out so we can have more kids come. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord for children ministries. It's just a blessing to watch kids grow and learn about the Lord. Junior King's kids had nine in last Wednesday, and they started a new series. We can show how they can show that they were thankful. And the story was about God's people and thank him by the sea and how they did that. And also we had 29 in King's Kids, or 25 rather, excuse me, and one gold car completed. And it was just such a blessing to see some more King's Kids come in. And we learned about a king named Hezekiah. And we learned on how the city, Jerusalem, was besieged, and he prayed. And God sent an angel and destroyed the army. And then Jesse preached for us there, and what he segued into was the fact that if God did that for Hezekiah and Jesus was on the cross, he could have called down legions of angels to save him, and he didn't do it. Because why? Because he wanted to die for our sin and offer salvation to the world. So that's what we learned in King's Kids.
The week before the conference, we had 7 people come for the letter writing ministry, and we did 45 letters. And this past week, we had 5 people come, and we wrote 25 letters. So those 2 extra people added up to a lot of letter writing. So we could use you guys' help if you guys want to write some letters to some people who really need some encouragement. We could use you.
Amen. Amen. We had a dot blitzing this last Monday. We passed out 324 tracks. So I think we can do much better than that. We've done 500 the first week. So you'd be really surprised how fast we could get a track on every single person's door in Sassoon, Fairfield, Ackville, whatever. We don't need to stop there. But we need people. We can only go so fast going from door to door. So if you want to help out, pass tracks Monday nights, 6:30.
Hi, and with door knocking this week, we had 5 people out, and we had 53 contacts. And God is working on Monday nights to reach people for the gospel. So come out and join us.
Junior church is getting really tough as far as competition goes. I only have 1 more Bible left. Today we had the children say their Bible verses, and I had some children get all the way up to X before they missed 1 word. So we actually videotaped one of the kids doing their Bible verses today, and we just have a little video for you to watch. Go.
A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. C, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. D, depart from evil and do good. E. Even a child is known by his doings.
F.
Fear not, for I am with thee.
G.
God is love.
H.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
I.
If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
J.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
K.
Keep thy tongue from evil.
L.
Look unto me and be ye saved.
M.
My son, give me thine heart.
N.
No man can serve 2 masters.
O.
O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
P.
Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God.
Q.
Quit ye like man, be strong.
R.
Remember the 7th day to keep it holy.
S.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
T.
Thou God seest me.
U.
Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks.
V.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you.
W.
What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
X.
Exceeding great and precious promises are given unto us.
Y.
Ye are the light of the world.
Z.
Zion heard and was glad.
Go.
A. All have sinned and come short of.
Wow.
I'm sure all of you could do that, right? Or just a breeze, just like that. Isn't that amazing? Hey, you know what? That'll stay with him for the rest of his life. I really believe that. And that's the best thing, to get the Word of God in the hearts. Thank you for that. That was a blessing. I appreciate that. By the way, Community Outreach 2 is doing very well. Thank you for coming out. This past week, we had 324 in the blitzing, 8 people out. Let me just give you the totals, actually. I'm going through the individual. I'll just give you the totals. We had 30 soul winners out. We had 454 contacts, and we had 2 souls saved this week. And that's a blessing. And Nathan, why don't you come and tell the folks about the phone call you got about the cards, the letter writing. All right, tell them about that.
Well, it's about 3:15 Friday afternoon. I was sitting there working on some stuff in the office. I got a phone call, answered the phone, and it was a lady. She was called, when I answered the phone, she said, "Who's Arthur?" That was the first question she had. She said, "Who's Arthur?" I'm like, okay, you know, random, who's Arthur? He was calling the church. And I said, well, you know, I figured she was talking about Brother Ortiz. And I said, well, he's a member of our church. He's a faithful man. And she said, well, my mother just passed away, and Arthur wrote me a card. I can't read his last name. I'm not sure what his last name is, but he just wrote me a card. How did he get my address? How did he know what's going on? And at first I was like, I wonder if she's upset or something, you know? And she said, you know, I cannot believe a church would actually care enough about me to write a letter during this time of need. So this has been a really hard time in my life, losing my mother, and you know, it's just been tough. She said, I actually live in Vallejo. She said, I'm actually attend a Catholic church. I'm a Catholic. She said, but I think I'm gonna try to come out to the services. Ask me for where the directions are at of the church, where's the church located at, the service times. I said, you know, we have a website to check out. She said, I already saw it. I'm gonna be checking that out soon, but I just got the letter, and I just wanna say thank you. I didn't know there was a church that actually cared enough about me to help me in my time of need. So we are making a difference. Sometimes it seems like we're not, but just a phone call like that, I was like, wow, you know, Brother Ortiz coming out on a Monday night, giving his time. He just made a woman's day, and who knows what will happen. Maybe she might be saved just because a few minutes somebody wrote a letter. So
let's stand together. Psalm 464, who is on the Lord's side? Psalm 464. On the first verse, and we'll turn around and greet one another on the first.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will send a king? Who will be his helpers? Father, life's and bring. Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side?
Amen. Let me just mention some things. Don't forget, right to the service tonight. If you're ushering or would like to serve in the ushering or consider that, for new ushers, make sure and meet in room 120 immediately after the service. Thank you for signing up. gives us at least a good number so we'll know, and it'll be next door, so keep that in mind. This is very important, so I would ask that you help us with that. The first home Calvary Baptist Christian School volleyball game of the season will be this Friday, Friday, February 11 at 4:30 here at the church. Be sure and come here, cheer the girls on, and it will be out in the parking lot. So there will be a baby shower for Renee Campbell next Saturday, 1 to 3 here at the church. Appreciate you, if you would, please, to don't forget that. Come and support her, and really excited about their new child coming. It won't be long before it'll be here. And so, Andrew, congratulations, you and Renee, and we're excited for you, so keep that in mind. There'll be a sound booth meeting on February 13th following the evening service. This is a meeting for all current workers, anyone interested in serving in the sound booth. Nothing says I love you like a box of homemade truffles. The senior class will be selling truffles for 50 cents each. For Valentine's Day, support the senior class, purchase some truffles for that special someone or one that you might want to be your someone, so don't forget that as well. All right, it'll be a teen activity February the 18th, a Stockton Thunder hockey game. The cost is $20. There are copies of the winter preaching conference. By the way, church, did you guys really enjoy that conference?
Amen.
I think it's well worth it. I appreciate your being, being so faithful to it. And I was just very, very pleased with just how the Lord worked in our hearts. And so I want to urge you to go by and pick up some of those CDs. If you know how to download MP3s, they're on our website as well under the Media Archived Audio. So you can go by and check that out. We need volunteers to help with the Easter musical. Brother Shamsie mentioned that last week. If you can help with that, make sure and go by and sign up. There are areas for acting and setting up and takedown and all the other things. If you would make sure and sign up so we have a record so we'll know that. Giving record's already been addressed, and so keep that in mind. We're very sorry. We did have a little bit of a computer glitch, and so it's taken care of now, and we want to make sure that you get it. Of course, sometimes you don't know until it's already been published, and then all of a sudden, oh, wow, yes. And so we apologize for that, please. In no way are we trying to, shortchange or anything like that. So we apologize. It just happened to be one of those things we caught after they already sent out. And so we want to make sure you get it. All right, let's stand together and we sing hymn number 361, Heavenly Sunlight. And then we'll take our offering, Heavenly Sunlight. Great song.
Psalm 361, let's sing it on the verse. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, over the bend, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake me. All is divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, guiding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. And on the last, in the bright sunlight, blessing my way through mountains above, singing His praises proudly above, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love.
As many of you know, we've been kind of off the last couple of weeks in our giving, and so I'm just praying that God will give us a good offering. I don't know what came into this morning, but I just trust that we'll be faithful in our giving. I know it's not always easy, but I hope we didn't take, maybe some money that we belongs to God and use it for something else. And, I think it's always important that we give. And honestly, I believe we give by faith anyway. It's just kind of a giving faith thing, trusting God as I write my check and know that God's able to take care of it. And so I want to encourage, I want to challenge you tonight to pray and ask God to provide for the needs of the ministry. And let's remember as we pray that God will take care of that need. We do have a staff here. We do have other needs, and we want to take care of those. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to provide that need, shall we?
Go ahead and remain seated for this last song, song 77. Oh, that will be glory. We'll just sing one verse tonight. Just one verse, song 77. When all my labors and trials are over,
Yes, ma'am. We got your attention. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. I know you could have had that gone all night, Kelsey, without me mentioning that, but it was so obvious I had to. Nehemiah chapter 2 in your Bibles. You folks in good spirits tonight, you know, when you're walking with Christ, I don't know how you cannot be in a good spirit. You know, we have such a wonderful Savior, and it's sweeter every day walking with Him. I guess if you're walking in the world, you can have a bad spirit that'll get you. And walking with the Lord is the only way to walk. Nehemiah chapter 2, let's stand for the reading of God's word. I asked Brother Shamsdeen, I said, are you hot? And he said, no. I said, why not? Because it seems hot in here to me. I'm getting a suntan. And anyway, it's... It's great to be in a warm place. I'm just glad of that. 76 degrees today. Praise the Lord for that. Turn my air conditioner on in my car. Much cheaper than the house. Amen. So, verse 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words they had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, Geshen, the Arabian, heard it. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Then answered I of them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we are his servants. We'll arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." Thank you, and you may be seated. Well, Sharon will be leaving us, what, Tuesday, Sharon? You're heading out? But we're praying that Sharon comes back. Amen. We've gotten attached to having Sharon here in the church, and we're going to miss her when she leaves. And so you pray for her as she goes out. Thank you, Sharon, for being faithful. God bless you. We're going to miss you. We looked at this passage. I want to preach to you tonight on teamwork makes the dream work. That's what it's about, teamwork. We learned that the church is a team. We all make up a team. We talk about the fact that last week, and let me bring you up to where we were from last week. Remember last week we talked about the fact that if you go to an athletic event, some sporting event or something like that, you'll find in order for that event to go on, there are lots of people behind the scenes doing the work. There's the scorekeeper. There's the computer technicians. There's the people who work the concession stands. There are the ushers. There are the ticket counters. There are those who prepare the tickets. There are those who clean the parking lot attendants, those who collect the parking, those who set up the field, and those who maybe lay out the bases, and those who look at the rules, and the referees, and the announcers, and all of that. In other words, there's a whole bunch of people, and all of them have a part to make the event go on. I want to tell you tonight that believe it or not, there's a lot involved in preparing and getting a church ready. There's the cleaners and those who clean them, trying to make the property look presentable. There's those who are going to serve as ushers and those who get the notes ready and help with the notes and the sound, and those who work in Sunday school and the bus captain, all those who work there. And those who prepare and get the music ready and what's involved with the music, and those who sing in the music, and those who work in the nursery and make sure that we have adequate workers. In other words, the ministry of a church is not done by just one person. And you do realize that if one person falls down on the job, it's going to put a burden back on other people. And all of you can understand that because I'm sure you've all been at work where maybe you're at work and then someone calls in sick at the last minute and all of a sudden you're doing double duty. You can relate to that, can't you? And I wonder how many people in the church sometimes, you know, we get in churches and maybe we get a little bit overburdened because we go in and there should be someone that can help with all of those things, and sometimes it seems like the same person does four of those things or five of those things or six of those things. They've not learned, many of the people have not learned that in order for all of it to work, it must take a team effort. In fact, those who've never really learned and shouldered the team effort, they do not realize that when they ask for, "Can we have a new ministry?" they don't realize that by asking, that means that the people who were already overburdened are going to have to add another ministry to their plate. Folks, I want to tell you tonight, we can't add any other ministries right now. What we need is, we need to get more people that say, "You know what? I want to be a part of the team." The moment that we join a church, we're a part of the team. And that's what God is teaching us through this passage. Everything we do at the ministry of this church is a team effort. You know, there's not one person more important than the next. We're all part. Every one of these guys up here, they have a responsibility. They have a part of that. You who sit here, you have a part of that. You're part of the team. And here we find, as we study the book of Nehemiah, that they were working together as a team. It took them 52 days to build the wall. That was the effort that they were involved in. They knew that it could not be accomplished, but it took a leader who was inspired by God to lead the people, to work together as a team. And literally there were times when they had the sword in one hand and a trowel in another as they were building for God. And what I love about this passage of Scripture is, if you notice down in verse, let's see, where do I want us to look at? Look down in verse Number 18. The Bible says, notice what it says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which is good upon me, as also the king's words, they had spoken unto me, and they said, we will not build. Is that what it says? It says, we're not able to right now. Is that what it says? It says the economy's really bad right now, so we're not going to build. Is that what it says? What does it say? Let us rise up and what? Build. You know, there are times when, yeah, we have to slow down. There are times when we have to regroup. Yes, we understand that. But then there are times to move. And Nehemiah was leading the people to move forward. And he said there are four ingredients if you're going to make the dream work. And God has certainly given all of us a dream. We have dreams individually. We have dreams as a corporate body. We have a dream. And my dream is to capture Solano County for Jesus Christ. That's really my dream. That's what I want to see happen. I want us to reach this community like never before. And by the way, this community is wide open. They want us to come. This morning I was so proud of, there was a gentleman sitting right where Jackie is this morning, had on a red shirt, maybe some of you. I come up, I said, hey, it's great to have you. How did you hear of the church? I met Roberto while he was out door knocking. I was so proud of Robert. He met him out door knocking. And what an exciting thing to me is that, you know, we're starting to now see some, are you starting to notice we're starting to reap a little bit of what we're doing on Monday nights. Just a little bit. Just enough to keep us going, because we need to realize that, hey, it's a team effort. I wanted to have a writing group, and now we have a writing group. That's exciting to me. Just watching what God is doing, it's an amazing thing. But what it is, it's all of a team effort. We're all together. I don't have time to write notes. I don't have time to write 25 and 30 and 40 and 50 notes a week to people like that. I wish I did, but I don't. I try to write notes to members. I try to write notes to people who are in need. I try to, but I don't have time to do all of that. But all of us together, we can each share and take a part of the ministry. That's exciting to me. I want to capture our community for Christ. So what's our dream? Capturing the community. Now, that may not be as clearly for you as it is for me, but I want to help you to understand that. So we saw the four ingredients. Number one, we must capture the vision, verse number 17. And that was exactly what they were doing. It had a defined purpose to build the wall. This wall they were to build, their defined purpose was, we are going to build a wall. Now, what's our defined purpose? Our defined purpose is we're going to keep knocking doors and telling people about Christ until Jesus comes. That's really what it's all about. Obviously, the parking lot is in view of that vision, but that parking lot is only going to be to provide ample space for people so they can see from the street. There's a church that cares enough to sacrifice and put in a parking lot so that they know where to drive to, so they can come in and make their way to the front door and come in and hear the Word of God and get saved. I want to see families restored. I'm trying to help us to get a vision. And so we had the defined purpose, and that's exactly what we're doing, is we capture the vision together. This is not pastor's vision. This is our vision. There's a definite knowledge about it because God has given us this vision. This is for us. This is what God wants us to do. Honestly, down the road, I can see a lot more things happening. Yeah, it's a physical building. That's maybe a measurable vision for us, something we can look to, and we can say, well, thank God that took place, and thank God we got this. Man, I'm so thankful that we have this building. I honestly, every week that I come in here, I'm thankful to God He's provided the need so we can have this building. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad we have lights. I'm glad we have air conditioning. Now, the lights, we're going to get those. They'll be coming in this week, and we'll get these back up to where they need to be. But thank God for what He's provided for us. And God will continue to do that, but as God leads us in that vision. Hey, listen, when we started this project to be where this church building is, I don't know if you know this or not, but when we started this, we were running 73% in the budget back in 1998. 73%. But you know what? We move forward by faith. Let me ask you a question. Can God take care of our needs? Can we move forward by faith? I believe we can, and we have definite knowledge that this is what God wants us to do. And honestly, you know, church, I try to be respectful and understanding of where we are, but I'm afraid sometimes we let fear and maybe discouragement, or we let maybe the burden of what society tells us, or Fox News, or all the others to try to kind of govern how we set up our vision. No, listen, our vision comes directly from God. And what God orders, God will provide. I really believe that with all my heart. There's definite knowledge. And then, most important attribute I find in here, one of the most important parts of this vision, is that, if you notice here, that God be no more a reproach. In other words, I don't want a reproach on God's name ever. And I pray that as we move forward here by faith, that there will be in no way that God's name will ever be a reproach. Here's what I pray. I pray, dear God, your name is more important than my name. Your reputation is much more important than my reputation. Lord, I'm asking you that your reputation will be exalted in our community. I want you to understand, when I use the word community, I'm not talking about just Fairfield. I'm talking about Vacaville. I'm talking about Vallejo. I'm talking about Cordelia. I'm talking about Sassoon. I'm talking about the base. Look, I just want God's name to be so exalted that there'll be no way in which there ever will be a reproach on God's name. That's what they were concerned about. The walls had been destroyed. The enemies had come in and destroyed the walls, and they were praying and asking God that in no way would God's reputation ever be marred. A church is moving forward will reveal to the community that it's just not maintaining, but it's moving forward for Jesus Christ. Look, we have a powerful God. He sits in the heavens. He spoke and all things came into existence. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again the third day. Thank God he did all of that. If God's powerful enough to raise from the dead, he's powerful enough to move his project forward for Jesus Christ. But then there's a second ingredient. We must recognize the need. The Bible said they were in distress. What was the distress they were in? Verse 17, the word distress is spoken as the anguish of a mind. They were so burdened down. They just had so much on them that their anguish in their body, what was it? Well, they were concerned about, number one, God's reputation. They were concerned, number two, about the enemy's attack. And number three, they were concerned about the spiritual vitality of the nation. And there's nothing that does more to ignite a group of people together as when you give them something to work toward, a vision, a project, a goal, something that they might unite and get excited about. And I think we need to get excited once again about serving Jesus Christ. The psalmist says, while I was musing, the fire burned. We find all throughout Scripture how there's that passion, that burning desire, that passion that's inside of us that we get excited about God and serving God and who God is. And I think sometimes in our modern world that we become more excited about the Super Bowl than serving Jesus Christ. And I can't imagine a Christian would stay home from church to watch the Super Bowl. I can't imagine that. I believe we've got to be more excited about Jesus than any Super Bowl. Because you probably can't even tell me who won last year's. Or 4 years ago. Or who was in it. That's how important it is. But I'm going to tell you something. Your neighbors watch your empty house. Your neighbors will know. And there's no doubt about it. I want my neighbors to say, hey, you know what? Stone Streets are gone because we know where they are tonight. It's Sunday night. We're going to have the lights turned on here. We want people to drive by and say, hey, you know what? We're having our Super Bowl party and all those kind of things. But man, there's a church going on over there. They recognize the need. They're in distress. And the truth of the matter is, we live in distressful times. And God says that the nation here, notice they have needs to get re-energized and re-excited. And their danger was very apparent because the walls were now down. They were vulnerable. I'm going to tell you, when you let your walls down, that's when you get in trouble. And their influence, the Bible said that when they built the walls, they began to now influence their countries around them. Are you noticing what's going on right now? I don't know if I mentioned it this morning in our Sunday school class, but I am watching right now with great interest what's happening in the Middle East. I hope you're watching. You better keep your eyes on Middle East, but keep one eye toward heaven. Amen. He could be coming back very soon. Right now, what's going on in Egypt? By the way, we should not be surprised. We have now Jordan, Yemen, Egypt. And if you go on your maps and you notice all of these maps, all of these countries surround Israel. And when Jesus Christ comes back, guess where he's coming back? Israel. All that's going on over there, it may be a preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. Did you notice something else? And I'm not trying to scare you tonight, I'm just giving you the facts. Also, if you know anything about prophecy, you realize America is not in prophecy. We're not mentioned in prophecy. But at the way we're going right now, we may not even be a country anymore. If we keep turning our back on God, it may not be that we'll be overtaken by the Muslims. And we'll be so overrun and so in debt, we'll never be able to pay ourselves off. I don't know what that means, but I'm telling you right now, keep your eyes, because Jesus may be coming back. There's a need. There's an urgency about what we do. There's a matter of seriousness about what we're doing here. Church is not just giving the preacher something to do and the people something to do. It is very serious. So the need is there. There's a danger. Then thirdly, if you notice, you might want to write this one down too. And I believe I gave all these to you last week just to make sure that you understand that with this influence, that God says that we're influencing a country, a nation, a people. The Bible says we're to be a light in the world. I believe we're to shine our light brightly. But then there's a third ingredient. You might want to write this one down. If we're going to work together as a team, and we're going to move forward for Jesus Christ, and as a church, we're going to do what God wants us to do. And I love Calvary Baptist Church. I love this ministry. I've given 18 years of my life, the greater part of my entire adult life, to this ministry. I've not stayed this long except for the fact, number one, God called me, and that's the most important part. But number two is I love this ministry. My heart is here. This is what God wants me to do. I love this church. I love this community. I love all of this area. I'm very burdened. And I trust that you are. But the third thing I want you to write down and notice here, we must accept the challenge because it's going to be challenging. It's a challenge. It's a challenge because we know that before us, there are things that we did not know. A year ago, we did not know. I was looking back a year ago. We had our banquet and we were saying, okay, we're gonna go ahead and get started. And we kind of collected and got everything all organized and got ready to get started. And then in May or June, we hit the snag. And all of you are kind of like, when are we getting started? I said, as soon as we get this snag worked out. And we were told that by May it'd be worked out by June, and by June it'd be worked out by August, and by August it'd be worked out by September. At that point, I'm thinking, about the time it rains, we'll get it worked out. There were challenges before us. We had projected there'd be something like a $10,000 or $12,000 for design work and all that, and we'd be good to go with the permits. Instead, we had to go back to redesign. We didn't have the topo right. Everything was all wrong. Everything was all wrong. It was challenging, to say the least. Everyone was ready to go. Let's go. Let's get cranked up. Let's get it going. And I'm fearful that sometimes we might have just lost a little bit because of the discouragement. We just kind of lost a little bit of the spirit. But you know what? I'm excited about it because I think God had it at the right timing. Do I understand why? No, I don't know why. God's timing is never my timing. Have you guys found that out? God's always much slower, does things a whole lot different. I mean, if it were up to me and I was God, I just, that's it. But with God, it doesn't work like that. It became challenging. And what turned out from a $12,000 so projected design work, we had to redesign, get new topo, we had to do this, had to do that, go back to the drawing board, and take it back to the city, go through all the process. And you know, the city moves at the same pace as God does, very slow. And since they don't have a lot of projects, they were very scrutinous. You know, they have a lot, so now they took every agent. Well, you know what? Over a cup of coffee, we'll sit and pick this plan apart again. And that's exactly what they did. Now, they weren't picking on us. They just didn't have a whole lot of what else to do. So they pulled out all their policy manuals. They went through them with a fine-tooth comb. We had to bring everything up. Maybe something they might have missed. They didn't miss anything this time. And on the day, literally, I'm not kidding you, on the day that Brother Shepherd says, "Hey, I got some good news. I got the permits in my hand." It's pouring down the rain. And I said, "Great." You ever felt that way? Great. I had a great attitude about it. That's great. Pouring down the rain. Now we got the permits in hand. But you know what? There might be challenges that come along the way. But let me ask you a question. With the challenges, don't you think God knows about those? He does. He knows it. And it's kind of funny, you know, you can kind of go out here and you start talking to other ministries. You say, well, what's going on in your church? And you mentioned about in a parking lot. I say, "Oh yeah, we've been through that," you know. And then they say, "Let me tell you," and then you say, "Well, you know, we're running through some challenges." I say, "Oh, let me tell you." And so, you know, they almost want to one-up you on how bad everything is for them, you know, as far as trying to get things done. But one thing I found, the challenge is there. But with the challenge, there's a God-ordained mandate. God mandates it. This vision, this is what God wants for us. God mandates it. And I'm going to tell you this, with that vision, it's not always comfortable. Do you think when Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River, it was comfortable? I would imagine many of the people who were standing by the Jordan River at flood stage, it was 12 feet over. It's normal. And they had no way to build a bridge. They were to get across on the other side. They were waiting there for 3 days. I don't imagine they were all saying, "Boy, let's go, Josh. It's going to be really great to swim across the river." I think they were all saying, "No way, we're about out of here. You think we're going across that, Joshua? You got to be kidding me." And I believe what God was saying is, "Joshua, you show them, you step out first." And they literally put their feet in the water to step forward. And the Bible says that it was God's mandate. And to accept the challenge means that we accept that God has a mandate for us and that we move forward and do what He would have us to do, even though things are going to be problematic, even though things are going to have their challenges, even though we're going to be uncomfortable at times, even though it's going to be difficult, we accept the fact that His way is always perfect. 2 Samuel says it like this, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. As for the Lord, His way is perfect." Don't you like that? His way is perfect. It doesn't say the government's way is perfect, or man's way is perfect, or some plan is perfect. It says God's way is perfect. His word is tried and proven. It is perfect. But in accepting the challenge, there's some individual responsibility within the challenge. Every person that were there in the hearing of Nehemiah, they individually accepted the challenge. They said, "All right, let us arise, we'll build." Every person has a place and a part in our ministry. I think the children are important. How about you? Man, I was impressed with that child. That was really good. Seeing that kid just all like that. Children have an important part in the ministry. The nursery is an important part of our ministry. Amen? I mean, we don't create things for people to do, but it is good that we have things for people to do, but they're important parts for the ministry. The Sunday school is an important part of the ministry. There's a lot of workers involved. A lot of things have to be involved. That children's church, junior church is an important part of the ministry. King's Kids is an important part of the ministry. All that's an important part, but everybody has an important place in what we do here at Calvary Baptist Church. The choir members. And what's coming up with choir, with the Easter musical, it's going to be an exciting time. We want to put on, look, church, let me challenge you with something. Keep this in mind. Whether you work on makeup or whether you work in the back in costumes or whether you work in production or the sound or the lighting or singing or whatever the case is, don't you realize this is an important time for us as a church to be able to present to the community something that will impact their lives, and by God's grace, many of them will get saved. I try to get everybody I could and just let's just go all out for it. It's well worth the investment. Costs money for those things, but you can't put a price tag on souls. I think it's important that we realize that. We all get behind it and pray for it. And when we have special visitation days, and we're all go out and just kind of work and pray and ask God to help us. We're doing this together. Your prayer is just as important as my prayer. We pray and we knock doors and we talk to people. And it's so amazing how that when we do, that God blesses. You know, when a spider unites its web, You take one, kind of a spider, and you just kind of just take a hand and you just knock it down. But when a spider unites its web together, the more that the spiders work together and make the web, it can be so tight that it can actually literally tie up a lion. As we as a church, we work together, we could do so much more for God. I don't think there's any place for bitterness in a ministry. Amen? We work together. I believe that it's important we give together, we pray together, we cry together, we laugh together, we rejoice together, we serve together. And doing all of that, the Bible says, even though there'll be challenges, there's a corporate letter C commitment. A corporate commitment, a group that decides they're going to move forward, a group that decides, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this for Jesus Christ. I read about several years ago about Jimmy Durante. How many of you know who Jimmy Durante is? Remember him? Jimmy Durante was asked to do a part of a show for the World War II veterans. And he told them that he could only give them about 5 minutes or so, and that would be it. He'd come to a short monologue, and then he'd leave. He showed up, he came on the scene, he did his monologue, and then he slipped off to the back of the stage. But he couldn't leave. The audience kept applauding, and they were applauding about other things, and the applause got louder and louder, and he come back out and do a little bit more, and he would go back, and eventually he wound up staying for another 30 extra minutes. When he went off stage, the people were to whisk him back and take him back on to his next place. Said, "Mr. Durante, we do not understand why you stayed that extra time. Why did you do that? You know you had such a tight schedule." He said, "Come here, I want to show you." They went over, they pulled the curtain back, and they saw two men sitting in the front row. They were World War II veterans. One man had his arm blown off in his left arm. The other had his right arm blown off. And they were sitting next to each other. And because they did not have two hands to clap, they took each other's hand they did have and they clapped together as a team. He said, "That's why I'm still here." And I was thinking in my mind, you know, that's really maybe what it's all about. We just pull together as a team. Let's just do it for Jesus' sake. This is really not my vision. This is God's vision for us. This is God's vision for Calvary Baptist Church for the future. I don't know how much longer God's going to leave me here on the planet. I know it won't be long, and for I know it, you know, God will call me home. There needs to be something dipped back here for those who stay behind, for these children and my grandchildren, these young kids. There's got to be something behind for them. There's got to be something. And I'm going to tell you, 55 years ago, when there was a group of people that met, they had a vision. They didn't have a building. They didn't have any of the things that we have tonight. This would only been a great dream for them. Now we're living in their vision. And right now, we don't have all that we would like to have, but let's just trust God that He'll help us so that we can leave something behind for them. And one day they'll look back and say, those people had a vision. I don't want to let that vision die. I want that vision to continue to the next generation. Amen. This is God's vision. Yeah, we have to accept the challenges. They're going to come. There are going to be financial challenges. There are going to be city things that we have to do. And by the way, the city is not picking on us. Contrary to what you might think, they're not. In fact, this city has been very cordial to Calvary Baptist Church. They've been very good to us. They have allowed us total freedom in this city. They have never been restraining to us. I mean, they're so good. I mean, we can go anywhere we want. We can knock doors as long as we don't aggravate them and trespass on their property. We can knock on their doors. And by the way, knocking on someone's door is not trespassing on their property. But there'll be challenges. There'll be things we have to address, but by God's grace and by God's effort, as we pray together as a group and we seek God's face and we ask God to help us through those things, and when the financial things come, I can't give what somebody else can give, but I can give what I can give, and we all give together and trust God, then God's going to see this project go forward for His name's sake. Then there's one more ingredient. I want to give it to you. Fourth ingredient is pleasing the leader. I want to ask you a question tonight. Who's the leader? Jesus. We please the leader. That's what it's all about. And no doubt about it, the goal is to obey the will of God. A soldier wants to please his leader. 2 Timothy says it like this: no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier always wants to please his superior. That's how he was trained. That's how it was built within him. He wants to please his leader, his commander. And the Bible said that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10. Look, tonight, to be honest with you, everything I want us to do at this church is to please the Savior. Amen? You guys follow me? I want what we do to please Him. I'm not so concerned about what is pleasing to me. I'm more concerned about what's pleasing to Him. So the goal is to obey the will of God. But then second, letter B, the reward, He will prosper us. God will prosper us. Now, the word prosper is not the idea of economics. It's the idea of accomplishing His goal for us. He will prosper us. Remember, it wasn't easy for them to build the wall. As soon as they built the wall, there were those who began to criticize. Right down in the verses that we just read, there were those who sit over and say, it never happened. Tobiah, Geshem. Can't build the wall. What are you talking about? Bunch of losers. They would have let that eat away at them. They could have, but they did not, because they listened to God rather than to the voice of critics. You may not know this, and I think I mentioned this maybe last week, but I don't bring this up a whole lot. But I had a lot of critics when it came to trying to build this building that we're in right now, when I started it. They criticize me. Never get done. You can't do that. Never be able to afford it. Can't get this, can't get that, can't do this, can't do that, all those things. It'll never be accomplished. Aren't you glad we didn't listen to the voice of critics? You mean it can't be done? Sure it can be done. If there's a God in heaven, it can be done. The Bible said He will prosper us. Look, tonight I want to tell you something. Whatever God's will is, the reward is when we pull together as a team, when we unite together as a team, He will prosper us. But I want to tell you this, it's going to take all of us corporately committing together and say, God, we want to see this project done for Your honor and for Your glory. He can prosper us then. And I know He will. Because we serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God. He will prosper us. That's a reward, by the way. I'm going to tell you something. When God is done with our life here, and we look back, the greatest memories we'll remember is what we saw God do in our lives for Him. We probably won't so much look back at all these other things that maybe physically, we won't look back and say, oh, Green Bay won the Super Bowl. They probably are, though. They're going to win. But we don't know. But we probably look back and say, man, I tell you, I'm so glad I stayed home and watched the Super Bowl because Green Bay won. I doubt it. I don't think we'll look at it that way. I think here's what we'll do. I think we'll say, you know what? I am so glad that I committed, that we went to church, that we built this parking lot, and we reached some families for God. And those families that we reached, they're teaching my grandchildren at Calvary Baptist Church. Because I look at it this way. One day, God's going to give me some grandchildren. And I want them to have a place where they can come and hear the Word of God. I want them to have a Christian school they can be raised in. I want them to have a preacher that loves them and cares for them. Amen, church? And I don't want some compromising preacher to stand up here throwing out the King James Bible, bringing in some modern version, bringing in some rock bands, and destroy everything that we built here. We need some people that are going to stand on truth and live for God. And that's my vision that I believe that God has for us as a church. Now, we're going to begin to outline some of this parking lot vision because this is something we'll be able to see. And I'm going to ask you, I'm challenging you tonight. I'm going to challenge you as a church. Can we pray? Will you pray with me that God will help us to see this accomplished? I know we've been kind of putting it off and we set it aside for a year or so. We tried to recognize that maybe we had some other needs, but I think it's time to move forward. God help us. God help us. Teamwork makes the dream work. Let's pray.